reading a passage from the book Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those of whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all of it who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Margaret. Thank you for reading for us this morning. Good morning. My name is Miles. I serve as one of the pastors here. And as Will said earlier, it's great to have all the boys and girls in with us today for this Christmas service. I have a question for you, boys and girls, if you're out there. And actually, grown-ups as well, you can think about this. What is one of your favorite Christmas traditions? What's one of your favorite things about Christmas? What comes to your mind? Okay, good. Me, presents. Heard some of those things. For me, one of my favorite things is watching a particular movie called A Christmas Carol. We watch it together with my family on Christmas Eve. I wonder if you know this story. You probably know it. It tells the story of a man, Ebenezer Scrooge, and how he's transformed. He's transformed from a mean, hard-nosed, greedy, unfeeling kind of guy into a generous, kind, giving, even a joyful one. At one point, after the three spirits show him where his life of greed could lead, he wakes up and he's changed. He exclaims, "I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy." That's one of my favorite parts. It's great, right? I think it captures so wonderfully this feeling that Christmas promises, this lightness, this joy, this excitement. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel some of these things. And yet, if you're anything like me, the promise of holiday cheer doesn't always come through, does it? Boys and girls and grown-ups. In fact, many of us find that so often during this season that promises so much joy, we find that the stresses of life, the anxieties about the future, the hurts in our past seem to push the joys right out of our horizons. Perhaps you feel joy today, but you know your experience tells you that soon, well, it'll be back to work. It'll be back to reality. It'll be back to your home country, maybe, if you're visiting. The lights, the music, the gatherings, a general sense of warmth at Christmas, it won't last. It all too soon will fade. My friends, question for us this morning is this. What if this Christmas was a season God wanted to use in your life to grant you a deeper joy, an enduring joy? Because beneath a seasonal cheer, Christmas joy points to the arrival of hope in the human story, doesn't it? A joy that was announced as good news for all people. Not by denying pain, not by pushing difficulties away, but by steadying the heart, by anchoring ourselves in hope, not in what we've got going on, but in who God is and what he's promised for us. So as we look today at this well-known passage in Luke 2, I want us to see just three things, three reasons for a deeper joy at Christmas. First is this, that our worst things have been dealt with. Our worst things have been dealt with. Look at verse 9 with me. Starting in verse 8, there they were, the shepherds, minding their own business, living out in the fields, when an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He's the Messiah, the Lord." Kids, let me ask you, have you ever met a real-life shepherd before? Anyone? How about we got one hand. That's great, George. What about a first century shepherd living in Bethlehem? Anyone met one of those kind of shepherds before? Well, I haven't either, but one thing we can know about them is that they weren't a privileged bunch. They had little reason, actually, for joy if you just looked at their lives. They were one of the lowest social classes in that society. They were religiously unclean. They had no bright future ahead of them, no exciting job developments to be had, no confidence that things were going to change for them or turn out well. And yet, here they are with overflowing joy. By the end of the passage, they're rejoicing, they're dancing, they're praising God. Why? Well, the angels had news, didn't they? There was a baby, and not just another cute kid, but the very promised one of God, the one who would finally bring God's kingdom, this child who would make peace and friendship with God possible. You know, the shepherds, they were under no illusion of their need for help. That's one thing you could count on for them. And friends, this is what all true Christians know, that deep down, we are not God's friends. We do not have peace with him. We need help. Why? Well, friends, the Bible teaches that we were born with a disposition not to please God, but to please ourselves, to be our own gods. If we're honest, even as we think at a really functional level, as you think about your everyday, we act and we think in ways that, we're okay without him. We go about our careers, our family lives, even our longer-term dreams and our goals for what we want to do without so much as a thought for him. Instead, we're consumed with thoughts for ourselves, what we're going to do, how we're going to build our platform. And so our relationship with the perfect creator is broken. I wonder if you know what it feels like to have a broken relationship. Maybe with a friend, maybe with a family member. Do you remember how that feels to want so badly to make things right, and yet nothing changes? Well, friends, that's us with our creator. We've messed things up. We can't do anything to make it right, no matter how hard we try. Friends, yet into our helpless situation, God sends the angels. and they have news. That baby in the manger carried with him everything that people like us need to be made right with God. This is what the angels allude to in their mighty chorus there in verse 14. They sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace? Peace. Peace with God. You see, this baby grew up. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God, never thinking only of himself. A life that we could never hope to live. And even though he was the only person to never sin, he took the punishment for sin that we rightly deserved. And now through turning away from our sin and trusting in him and the sacrifice he made for us, he takes our sin, he takes our sorrow, and he exchanges it for his perfect record and for peace with the living God. Friends, that's what God does at Christmas. If we are Christians, our worst things, the very worst things about ourselves, have been dealt with finally and forever. They are gone for good. Second, because of Christmas, our most truly good things can never be taken away. Our most truly good things can never be taken away. When I was growing up in the U.S., I remember being like 8 or something like this. I remember one of the saddest days of the year was the days following Christmas when my dad had to drag our dead Christmas tree out to the dumpster. I'll never forget, you know, my parents would get a real tree each year, and eventually it got to the point where it would smell more like wet dog than anything resembling Christmas cheer. And my dad would, you know, drag it with his gloves, leave trails of kind of branches lining our carpet all the way to the driveway. And my sister and I would sit there and in mourning, basically. It was as if everything good and holy about Christmas was just being ripped away from us. That was it. It's gone. Well, friends, of course, beyond this silly example, Christmas can be a time we feel loss the most. We feel our lack of control over the things we love, the things we own. We've lost someone we've loved. We've lost a job. We've lost our financial stability. Even the things we love the most seem to slip through our fingers, no matter how hard we try to hold on to them. Friends, at Christmas, we encounter a joy that can never be taken from us. Why? Well, because it's rooted in a never-changing and an unfailing God who keeps his promises. It's remarkable, actually, in Luke 2, how much of God's promises are fulfilled in this section alone. For example, look at what God spoke through the prophet Isaiah many years before, hundreds of years. In Isaiah 9, the prophet says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I mean, think about how weird this must have sounded to people in Isaiah's day. A child is coming? He's the one who's going to be God? He's the one to bring God's kingdom? And yet here, in Luke 2, here the angels were announcing that precisely as God promised, this was happening. God was coming through. He can be trusted. Let me ask you, friends, what's the best thing you have going for you today? Maybe in this season of your life. A good job, a lucrative career path, good grades maybe, a loving family, friends. Well, friends, if you know and love Jesus Christ, this is what you have going for you. God's presence with you by his Spirit every minute of every day. God's love and kindness to you from eternity past. God's watchful care and concern for you as your Father. God's unfailing goal of finishing the work he began in you. He will not give up on you. If Jesus was willing to go to unimaginable lengths, even to the point of entering our world as a helpless child, to the point of dying in our place in order to bring us to make a way to be with him forever, friends, what can't you trust him with now. And you've grasped God's love for you at Christmas. We get a joy that persists because nothing can take away his love. Nothing can thwart his promises. Not sickness, not broken relationships, not stress or loneliness, not our own mistakes, not our worst failures, not even death. Well, finally, because of Christmas, our best things are yet to come. Our best things are yet to come. I love the book we read earlier, the boys and girls helping us read, The Longest Wait. We wait a long time for Christmas, don't we? I know in my family, we start the Advent calendar at day one, and it's like, oh man, we're never going to get to day 25. It feels forever. But even that small picture reveals something of the longings not just boys and girls feel, but we all feel for fulfillment, for a joy that lasts, for light to cast out the darkness in our world, for all to be made right. And yet it is the season of remembering this joy and hope that we're reminded that we aren't yet home, are we? God's people waited and waited a long time for Jesus to come in Bethlehem. And with the angel's announcement in Luke 2, it had arrived. Christmas Day, the Savior of the world was here. Go see him. He's lying there in the manger. See, friends, the joy of Christmas is not just that Jesus came, but that he will come again to make all things right and good and new. If he came once, if he made good on his promise to come as a lowly Savior, he will certainly make good on his promise to come as a glorious king. It's like we read earlier, the longest wait is nearly done. We're waiting for the victory won. Can you imagine that day? When it comes, our joy will be complete and full and forever. In verse 20, we read that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends, on that final day, we will be glorifying and praising God for all the things we have seen and heard, all the things we're seeing, which will be just as we've been told. That day is coming. It means this weary world is not the end of the story, that one day will be redeemed by his saving power. No matter what today or tomorrow may hold, Jesus is making all things new. He's leading us to a heavenly home where pain and sorrow and loss are no more. The light of Christ will finally cast out darkness forever. Our hearts will be satisfied in his glorious presence forever. As we close, friends, let me ask you, do you know this Christmas joy? This deep, enduring joy of Christ, the joy that steadies the heart by anchoring hope in who God is and what he's promised us. If you're here this morning, friends, and you're not yet a recipient of this joy, the gift of Christ, I mean, maybe that you're hearing most of this for the first time. You think, can this really be true? Sounds unbelievable. Perhaps you've heard the Christian message for a while now. Maybe you still have questions that need answering, doubts, things that don't really seem to add up to you. Friends, let me encourage you with this. Do as the shepherds do in our passage. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The Lord had told them, there's a baby, but they didn't stop there. They went to see for themselves. Friends, investigate. You've heard the message. See if it's really true. Don't let this slide this Christmas. Ask God to show you if this is really true. Because what if it is? What if eternal life and peace with God is possible? That possibility alone should cause you to explore. What could you lose? And then for those of us who are recipients of this Christmas joy, let me encourage you, do as Mary does in verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Friends, guard these truths this Christmas. Treat them as your most valuable possessions. Especially if this season is particularly gloomy or painful, don't miss what God offers to you through his promises fulfilled in Christ. Pray, read, get together with other Christians. Do what you can to keep these things on your mind so that your joy doesn't end as Christmas ends, but continues into the new year. Friends, won't you take hold of the joy that Christmas offers? Let's pray together as I close. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you offer us enduring joy at Christmas. We know, Lord, our lives won't always be filled with good things, that sorrow and suffering will come, even are with us today. And yet we thank you that when we trust in Christ, our lives become defined by your love and care. The relief of forgiveness, the hope of life with you forever. We pray that this joy might characterize us more and more this coming year as we treasure all that Christ has done for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.